Audit Noir Finland. Rikostarinoiden äärellä. Isäntinä Markus Asunta ja Mika Mäksä-Mäkelä.
Hyvää vuorokauden aikaa. Tämä on Audit Noir Finland podcast ja minä olen Mäksä.
Minä olen Markus. Ja me olemme täällä rikostarinoiden
äärellä. Welcome. We have a very interesting Norwegian famous, at least in Norwegia, but maybe shortly in Finland also. Welcome, Heini Pakkeid.
Thank you. I would prefer to be called a newcomer because I just started this game.
How many crime books have you written?
I've published 3 in Norway, so I'm working on my 4th.
All right, so we're going to be even now, as your 3rd volume will be published in Finland very, very shortly, yeah. and is published once this podcast is out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could you please tell us something about your background? Introduce yourself, please.
Yeah, I'm from the north of Norway. I grew up in an extremely small place, 5 houses, just mountains and the sea and really nothing else. I used to be a lot alone because there were like 3 other kids there. So I grew up just walking around, going fishing, going up in the mountains and reading books. My grandfather read books from the war because he was a soldier. My mother read crime fiction. My grandmother used to read this, what are they called? Like, Husmor porno, like some erotic novels for women. My father used to read illustrated science and stuff. So I just read what was in the house and when I wasn't outside playing. So I never really discussed, you know, books and literature and stuff. It was just something that was in my head. So when I started writing, I sort of found a connection back to who I used to be when I was younger.
Nordic Noir Finland.
We've come to learn that before becoming an author, you started out as a programmer,
or yeah, I was supposed to be a system developer,
right?
And we learned the last half hour that I was lucky for everybody. I didn't.
Well,
yeah, that was also actually your publisher. She was interested why you didn't stick into that industry because you could make good money with the coding. But you turn into the writer, so
yeah. Now I make more, but when I used to write books for young adults before I became a crime writer, I didn't really make a lot of money. So I was supposed to take the master's degree when I finished my first novel. So I told my wife and I told myself, if the book gets published, I'm going to be a writer. I'm just going to take the student debt and say, fuck that. And if it doesn't get published, I'm going to be a system developer. So the book got published and
How did you get into writing crime?
So I was studying only programming at the time. And the first thing I started writing was the Torkelowski books. But I was still so young. I was in my 20s and I was supposed to write about people in their 40s. I didn't have any kids then. I was mostly just a selfish guy in his 20s thinking about himself. So I realized after writing maybe like 50 pages or something that I couldn't really relate how I wanted to. So I checked the scripts I wrote back then and they're still okay, but I didn't really understand the characters like I do. So I just told myself, I'm going to wait till I'm 40. In the meantime, I'm just going to write whatever I want,
right.
Just have fun. And when I get to 40, I'm going to start writing the crime books. So I started as a crime writer, and that's what always interested me the most. And if you take the horror aspect, which because I wrote horror fiction for young adults,
yeah.
So when I can merge those two, I'm very happy.
All right, yeah. What would you say is the most like prominent feature in your own work, as opposed to could we talk about the bulk of Scandinavian crime or Nordic noir?
What I've learned about where I differ. Because the feedback I get is that I always try to fit in, you know, try to stay within the boundaries of the genre, but I can't really help myself drifting towards what interests me the most. And like I said, the horror aspect, and horror not just a physical horror, you know, not like a monster or something, just the horror. Connected to your emotions, your actions, your everyday life, you know. That's the thing that always interests me. And that's where I always end up going. No matter, I can try to do this modern action thing with exploding heads and stuff, but I always end up following the characters. So I plan the plot, but I can't plan how the characters are going to react to the plot. So I'm very character driven, and I can just toss away whatever direction I was going if a character just takes me another way, because I don't know how they're going to react to the situations that I've planned for them. So yeah, I'm character driven. That's probably my main feature.
Yeah. In my opinion, there seems to be as well as there's the crime and the horror, and there seems to also be a sort of twisted humor, which keeps me at least thinking that is there even a parodical aspect there somewhere, like certain people, like for instance the psychiatrist is like he seems to be sort of. You can't talk about comic relief when you're talking about horror, but like comic unrest.
Yeah, I think it's that the people, the characters, they're kind of like people I want to exist in the world. You know,
yeah.
they're not the everyday people, but they have their faults. I love their faults, but they're still they're just interesting. You know. I like interesting people in all directions, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's the main thing. I just create people I want to exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, well we think that Nordic noir books has a lot of cliché characters.
Yeah.
But your characters are not anymore cliché. They are potential times three than normal crime investigator or whatever.
I had a friend once who called me a sarcastic cynic, and I think that shines through in some of my characters.
Yes, yeah, that's actually, well, yeah, sarcastic, cynical, horror, Nordic noir, that's pretty much where you are. Yeah, I agree with your friend there.
But I like in a story that it's supposed to feel real, right?
Mm.
But still, you want to, you know, you want to do something for the readers, like take it a notch up also, you know? So I want them to not reflect on the environment they're in per se, but just to let them loose, right?
Yes.
Not be constrained. I hate books where everything is, it's like it's a recipe. It's like I'm reading a fucking recipe. Jack is this tall, he has these eyes, and he's always a nice guy. Well, I never met this guy in real life. Nobody's just this thing, right? So I like people who's a lot of things.
Yeah.
Good and bad, right?
Nordic Noir Finland, rikostarinoiden äärellä.
How is your writing process? Somebody we have been talking so many authors, and somebody do their books in an Excel sheet. Somebody is start writing and no idea where the story goes. How does your book born?
Yeah, I talk to a lot of colleagues. I always try to, you know, improve when it comes to, you know, efficiency and stuff. Some of my colleagues, they plan, you know, everything in advance, and then just give me a second, and then they write what the hell. Yeah, and then they write what they planned. What I do is I plan the plot. The plot is usually inspired by events from real life. It can be a murder or something, I read about or whatever. But as soon as I start writing, I have like a beginning, a middle, and stuff. But as soon as I start writing, each scene I have to let the characters play their part in the scene. If I try to force them through a scene, how I want this to be, how I want things to happen, so we can get to the next scene, it just feels, it feels made up. It feels like it's just me, hay in the bucket, telling somebody about a story. So I can't plan too much ahead when it comes to what happens. I can write a book, and I thought we're going in this direction. This is what happens, and I get to like page 10, and already my characters are reacting in a total different way. So I go that way then. The downside of this is it takes a longer time to write the books, right? Because I can get to page 280, and suddenly my characters are going this way. Ah, fuck it, I gotta fix the 280 pages before, right? But I feel it makes the stories maybe a bit more unique. I'm reluctant to let go of this way of working. So I take a little more time, but I like the end result so much. So, you know.
Yeah. Yes. Let's talk about your main character, Torkild Aske. I'm not a psychologist by any means. I'm more of a sort of a kitchen psychologist, I suppose. But I kind of have the feeling that are you familiar with like Freud's basic idea of life drives, that most people would be driven by libido, and then there's the death drive as well, the thanatos. In my opinion, Torkild is driven by thanatos and occasionally disturbed by libido. Am I?
Sure. I remember reading a book. It was a Jewish woman. I think she was called Sabina Speedrun or something. She wrote about this theory about you have this self-destructive mechanism within you, and it's more prevalent in some than others. That's something I always thought was part of his drive, though, to annihilate himself in some way or other.
So I wasn't like all mistaken there.
No, but I really don't. I like I said, I can't plan how they're gonna be, right?
Yeah.
I have people who say I don't. It's so annoying when Torkild does this and this, and yeah, in real life I can't change it. I can't make him do just the good things, but still I can't do it. Yeah. I can't fucking do it, right?
So it's annoying for you as well when he does whatever he does.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I feel like when I started writing this, I feel like I get this Torkild curse myself, because all the embarrassing, humiliating things he goes through, I end up doing the same things myself in my life. So it's kind of a curse now.
Yeah, yeah. So for the listener who has not read like any of your work, how would you like describe Torkild? How would you put him in a nutshell?
Yeah, so he can't get back to where he was. That's the main thing for him. He was a lot of things. I don't think he was happy with being an interrogation leader, being the guy who always had everything in order, right? So when I took everything away from him, he can't get back there, right? And I feel that's the core of him, right? If you don't mind the physical things and stuff, he's an ex police officer, he's been in prison, he's tried to take his own life. But I think that's the main thing, you know, he can't change the things that has happened, and he can't accept the things that has happened at the same time, right? So he's in this forever limbo, right? No matter what he does, he knows he won't get where he wants.
Nordic Noir Finland, rikostarinoiden äärellä.
Regarding the some judgments from the Finnish newspaper or media, they are very positive. They are giving you 4 to 5 stars out of 5, and very very positive comments. And the one thing that is quite many times mentioned is, for example, Stephen King has gotten like Norwegian
heir to the throne.
Yeah, somebody called you Nespo is mentioned quite many times in media when your name is also mentioned. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the marketing department that love the reviews that uses my name with Nespas. The thing is, we have we took our main character from the same like gene pool, you know. Mm. They have the same sort of starting traits that's usual in some subgenres of the crime fiction
novel. Yes.
But I feel like what we did with the characters and how we tell our stories are completely different. Mm. Still. I like getting praise. I like all those things. But still, if you look at the technical part of our work, we're still very different.
Yeah.
Yes.
In our
yeah.
directions. And UNESCO has also had the. He's also changed the. What's it called? The paradigm. He's also had several paradigm shifts within his novels.
Mm.
He started very classical with the first books, and then he amped it up. In the middle, and then he amped it up again. I haven't gotten to that part where I've changed anything, and I'm not sure I'm ever going to do that.
Mm. Okay. What are your role models or idols from the author world?
Yeah, so I have a lot of... it's not like I said, I didn't really discuss literature when I grew up. So after my work, I can look at it and say, yeah, that's inspired by this and that's inspired by that. But we had a Norwegian writer called André Bjerke, who wrote books for children, and then he wrote crime novels in the 1940s, which had this horror element to it also. And he also had this, the written language was just amazing. It was, you can't find it these days. So I use him always as an idol to strive against just so that I want everything to be perfect. It never is, you know, but still I want all the aspects that I remember he had. I want my readers to feel what I felt when I used to read his books. But like I said, I just read whatever was in the house, so you can see I get my inspiration from almost every genre there is. Really.
What are your dreams or future plans? You have now, there's going to be third book, like we discussed. First one was in Finnish, Meren Aaveet. Second was Paratiisin Kutsu. And the third one will be called...
Nukun lapsi Armaani.
Yes, Nukun lapsi Armaani is the third one. What are your dreams or... future plans after this?
Well, if I should address it like you would with a business, my vision is world domination, right?
Okay, that's great.
But if you take it down a notch, I want to write. I want each and every book to be something that I'm proud of. So I sacrifice money, for instance, by using a bit more time on my books. But I want them. I can't let them go if I'm not done with the book, right? So I want a long career with fucking great books, great stories. I'm a storyteller most of all, right? I want to entertain people. I want to learn something for myself when I research and write these books. Yeah, that's my dream.
That's great. So world domination with a self-destructive former police officer.
Okay. Yeah.
That sounds like a that's plan.
That's a plan.
Yeah. Have you got any prognosis about how things are going to go for Thorkild? Do you have any idea of how many books he will survive in your hands?
So I have, like I said, I began writing about Thorgrask. Then I put the scripts away and wrote other things. But I was still planning the books, you know, when I went out walking or something. So I had this plan for when I started the first book for 5 books, and I had sort of an ending. Now I'm up to 8 books because there's come some other new cool stuff. But I told myself that the day I know him, you know, the day I know him completely, when I just have to, you know, watch the news to find a new plot or a new story to write, that's not going to happen. So the day I know him completely, I'm done. We're done. We're not going to talk to each other again. But I don't know when that day comes.
Yeah.
I don't know him that good still. So
that sounds quite good, actually.
Besides the describing the mindset of those characters, you are really good at describe the places, and I see your books quite a lot as a scene from the TV series or movie. Do you write as a thinking that was as a TV series or movie?
I think there are similarities. The way I write, I feel like my job is to set the scene, right? Mm-hmm. This is where we're going. This mm-hmm. is where the next scene is going to be. So I set the scene, and then I let the characters come out and play. That's how the scenes get made in my head, and that's how I view them. So it might be like a movie because I see the location, right? And I describe the location and I let the characters act out their things in that location.
Although in the first book, the disco, I just somehow I couldn't imagine that because I haven't used the drugs or LSD never, so that was pretty hard for me. But I think did you manage to catch that scene, Markus?
Well, I suppose I sort of did. It was
sort
strange
of
enough.
Yeah,
the disco is actually it was a youth disco I used to go to when I was young myself. It wasn't on an island though. But I just took that and put it.
It's a real place.
Yeah,
the disco is a real place, but I just moved it.
Okay, yes. All right, okay, but maybe. It was a long time ago, or you was in a different mood also when you were there.
in an altered mood.
Nordic Noir Finland. Rikostarinoiden äärellä.
Heinäbakkaiden nukulapsi Armaani on tosiaan nyt saamaksissa muun muassa Suplaplussasta. Tällä kertaa Thorkild ja hänen sisarensa palaavat lapsuuden maisemiinsa Islantiin, kun heidän kuolemansairas isänsä istuu vankilassa murhasta tuomittuna. Nämä juonenkäänteet hän on tietysti edelleen makaabereja ja tyyli sarkastis kyynistä, kuten odottaa saattaa. Tyyniin mustaa humoria kuin kauhua. Ja kirjahan löytyy siis Suplaplussan valikoimasta, ja Suplaplussanhan sä saat kuukauden ajaksi käyttöön koodilla NordicNoirPodcast21 osoitteesta kauppa.supla.fi/lunasta, siis NordicNoirPodcast21. Ja kun mä pääsin nyt mainostamisen makuun, niin muistahan siis seurata meitä myös somessa. Löydetään sekä Instagramista, Facebookista että jopa LinkedInistä niinkin persoonallisella nimellä kuin Nordic Noir Finland. Luvassa muun muassa aiheeseen liittyvää arvonta-alan toimintaa.
Nordic Noir Finland, rikostarinoiden äärellä.
To me it's just, when I write a book the first time, it's just something I do for myself. It's just me I'm thinking of. After that comes the work, then the publishing houses does their thing, and I'm sort of done with the books when my job is finished. I'm already way deep in the next book, so I don't really write for any agenda outside myself.
Having fun.
So I don't have a important message to share with the world.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's sometimes it's very refreshing because, for example, Finland, we have authors that they have some message they want to get through, or they are writing the books, thinking of the movie scripts, or
not to mention that in the country between us, there seems to be a sort of agenda in the Nordic Noir.
Let's not talk about Sweden. We are equal with Norway, so let's skip the Sweden.
I have this relative who used to do what's it called. You study your ancestry and stuff. So we found a letter from one of my my ancestors from the early 1800s, and he used to tell stories to people, and they would buy him drinks. So he was piss poor, lived in this shack house of a building, and used to tell stories to people to get them to sponsor his drinking habit. And I'm sort of just a more modern version of that. Not that I drink, but you know, it's you're just telling stories, right? You're trying to entertain people, and I'm very comfortable at leaving it at that.
I think we are very. For us, it's much much easier to get into Thorkild's heads than, for example, Stockholm lawyer guys or whoever, because they are living from Finnish point of view to Stockholm. How do you say pintaliito?
Yeah, well, it's sort of more superficial jet set thing might be going on somewhere. Thorkild is sort of down to earth.
Yeah, yeah.
Very down.
Our mindset in general, Finnish mindset, when it comes to man's head, we are pretty much darker than let's say average people. One more question. Yeah. What I'm thinking, where your books are most popular at the moment? Which country?
Well, I don't know. It's going very well in France right now.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm taking a bit. The reviews everywhere. I got great reviews from South Africa. Everywhere, most of the reviews are fucking amazing. And, so I don't know. it's an abstract thing. As long as I get good reviews, I get my money. I'm happy.
That's great. That's great.
I think this is the point where we can say thank you.
Not yet.
Oh, yeah.
I'm seeing.
You're seeing.
You're
seeing things.
I'm seeing one thing in a video because we have a video call going on with.
Of course,
Heine, yes. And I'm quite keen fisherman, and I'm seeing funny fish on the wall. And have you done it by yourself, or what is your relationship to those and fishing?
Yeah, I love fishing. Those are actually from Charles Darwin drew them, I think, from his journey on the when he was doing his research for the Origin of Species book. So I just like these weird ass things, as you can see here.
Yeah.
I got some more. I love fishing. But I haven't drawn any of these.
Okay. All right. All right. Now, Markus, it's the point.
Yes. Now we have reached the point where we can say thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
And it was fun.
And we wish you all the best, and are very eager to start with the third installment, not to mention whenever you get finished with the fourth one, and whenever somebody gets to the point where it's translated, then it's going to be party time for us again.
Yeah, I hope I can get back to Finland again. It was very fun when I was there last time. So as soon as this COVID shit is over, we can
absolutely
start meeting people again.
Yeah, that'll be grand, actually.
Yeah, thanks a lot also.
Thank you very much.
To share this moment, and hope to hear you soon, and maybe we see.
Yeah,
I hope so. Yes. So, cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah, thank you.
Tämä on Nordic Nor Finland. Minä olen Maxa.
Ja minä olen Markus.
Rikos.
Tarinoiden äärellä.